walks like an animal, talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animal, talking animal. Talks like an animal, must be an animal. Come hear the animals, talking animals, talking animals.
Good morning. This is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and my guest today is John Corey, a veteran filmmaker and producer whose credits include Forks Over Knives. Corey also produced Plant Pure Nation, a documentary that's screening at the Tampa Bay Veg Fest, happening November 4th at Okeechobee Fort Brook Park. And afterwards, he'll lead a discussion about the film and the issues it explores. Plant Pure Nation chronicles what happens after T. Colin Campbell, the revered scientist and author of the immensely influential book, The China Study, delivers a powerful speech on the floor of the Kentucky House of Representatives. Campbell and his son Nelson, as well as Kentucky State Representative Tom Reiner, team up on a pilot program documenting health benefits of a plant-based diet. This launches them on an extended quest as various groups of folks try the Plant Pure Jumpstart program and see significant improvements in their health within a short period of time. We'll hear about the film, how it served as a jumping-off point for everything from a grassroots movement to a full-fledged business enterprise, and maybe a sneak preview of what to expect at Veg Fest when I speak with John Corey in a few moments here on Talking Animals. Also later, I'll speak with Jennifer Lockwood, a pilot who's been coordinating the rescues of hundreds of cats and dogs that were abandoned in the U.S., Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico in the wake of the hurricanes. Many of those animals have been adopted stateside, including in and around the Tampa Bay area. Meanwhile, let's get to John Corey and Plant Pure Nation with the reminder that I invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. This is John Corey on Talking Animals. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you.
So you've been a producer for a good 25 years or so. Let's start off tracing some of the career path that led to working on such projects as Forks Over Knives and Plant Pure Nation. Talk about some of the earlier projects and things that sort of pushed you in the direction that, of those films.
Well, it was really by accident that I got into the Forks Over Knives film. I went to Seminole High School in St. Petersburg, Florida, and went to Florida State, and then in the Air Force, I produced combat camera films and videos and got into commercial TV in 1990, primarily doing a lot of military documentaries on History Channel and A&E based on the experience I had in the service. So, Sworn to Secrecy, The Color of War were a couple long-running series, Weapons of War. So they were far afield from what Forks Over Knives became, but I did a few other feature films before 2009, and I just got a phone call from a friend who said, I've got a book I've read. Would you be interested in reading it and seeing if you thought there's a documentary here? And that was T. Colin Campbell's book, The China Study. So it really was an accident. I wasn't brought on to do Forks Over Knives because I ate that way or had a belief system toward a plant-based diet. Really, my experience doing documentary film.
I guess that follows, although it seems like checking out your resume pretty carefully, there were some sort of animal, wildlife-oriented docs or series, at least, somewhat as a prelude to that, but
you're right. Safari Tracks was a really cool, we did 52 half-hour episodes for syndicated Fox stations around the country, and every week you went to a different, we explored different animals and wildlife in Africa.
So it sounds like, coincidental or not, you did end up producing Forks Over Knives, which obviously went on to great acclaim and popularity, and then it's not like you said, okay, well, that's a one-off, and I'm gone, because, of course, part of the reason we're talking today is that you also produced Plant Pure Nation. So did the experience of Forks Over Knives just make you feel like, okay, well, I've done a lot of stuff, I've got a long resume, but this somehow feels different or more meaningful on some level?
Well, that's exactly right. It was meaningful. I was maybe a couple months into production of Forks Over Knives, and I mentioned it to my mother-in-law, Bev Kelly, and I just mentioned I'm doing this film. It's about the plant-based diet, and she did, dove right into it. She did some research and started eating that way before I did. And then it was interesting, though, almost out of respect for Dr. Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn, the other producers on the team, my director, the composer, we all started eating this way gradually because because out of respect for the science and the people we were documenting. So it really became something that, you know, over time it became more of a lifestyle.
So I guess that in some ways then it was natural that would evolve into another project of that kind, which would be the Plant Pure Nation documentary.
Right. You know, the director of, I did a series called The Color of War back in 2000 for the History Channel. It was the first all-color World War II long-running series. And the series producer for that was Lee Fulkerson, and I just thought he would be perfect to do Forks Over Knives because I just thought it was right up his alley. And then after that, Dr. Campbell's son Nelson asked Lee to come over and help him document an experiment he was doing in a small town in North Carolina. And the premise was, you know, could you get ordinary, you know, people from the South who are used to eating a comfort, you know, Southern comfort food, could you get them to eat a plant-based diet for 10 days? And if you did, what would happen? And that was sort of the idea. And they put that together, and then Lee called me up. I guess it was November of 2013, and he said, you know, we've got something put together. You want to come out and take a look? They were interested in maybe in me helping them market it. And I went out there, we looked at it, and we liked what we saw, but we felt like we could do more. And then we ended up raising more funding, and then we really went after it and explored more of the issues. So Mebane, the small town of Mebane, it's got about 10,000 people in it. It becomes a metaphor for the overall problems that we as a country are. Everybody in that small little town are facing the same problems we are in the country. But by making that story the springboard, we're able to explore a lot more issues.
Yeah. Well, let me know, folks. So this is Talking Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss. If you just tuned in, my guest is John Corey, producer of Plant Pure Nation, a documentary that's screening at the Tampa Bay Veg Fest November 4th. After the screening, he'll lead a discussion of the film. If you'd like to ask John a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663, email dj at wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. John, I'm curious, when they said, hey, you want to take a look at this, and you did, and you thought, okay, there's something here, but we need to expand it, we need to add more. What did you see, and more to the point, I guess, what did you felt needed to be added to the film?
Well, at that point, it seemed to me that it was just a snapshot of people getting healthier. And it is pretty cool to see people get really excited watching their cholesterol levels drop and their blood pressure drop in just 10 days. But I just didn't think it was enough. I didn't feel like it was enough of a story that people were going to plunk down, you know, $10 or $12 and go to the theater, babysitter to go out and see. You have to be a little bit more brave than that, I think. And so I just felt like it needed that the overall idea was great, but it just needed to be more ambitious. And the thing that made it so interesting, though, was that in the beginning, Nelson had gone to Kentucky after his father had spoken in front of the legislature. And the legislature was so happy to have Dr. Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn there. It was the first time that any house in the country had openly to sort of discuss the plant-based diet. So they were making history. And after that, somebody came up with a feel-good proclamation and just said that, you know, these guys are really good. We love what they're doing. So naively, Dr. Campbell's son, Nelson, thought, well, this is a good time for me to work with a local representative there and see if maybe we can start a little pilot study in the eastern part of Kentucky where they've got real high poverty rates and the diet is atrocious, and the childhood obesity is horrible, and maybe we could, you know, and they were going to pay for it on their own dime, and the assumption was that when they were done, maybe the legislature would look at doing something more statewide. And so they put this little bill together, and the representative, his name was Tom Reiner, he said he'd never seen more pushback against the bill in his whole career there. And they realized just trying to do something to do with the plant-based diet and involving the legislature was a big problem. So Nelson said, you know what, I'm going to go back to my hometown anyway. I'll just do it on my own. And he chose to go back to Mebane. And so while we're sitting there deciding what to do, What we decided then was, you know what we need to do? We need to get back to Kentucky and show them what we did here. But, you know, they weren't going to let them back on the floor again. So we had to come up with a scheme to get the Kentucky legislature to look at what he did on his own back in North Carolina. So that's where the, that's what, if you want to, it's not like it was something super brave, but at least it was something where we as filmmakers were taking a chance. We didn't know what was going to happen. We had to get that thing put on the floor. We wanted people to discuss it. And so we sort of devised a plan to do that, and that's everything. And so at the same time, we documented a lot of that.
So it sounds like that whole quest and that struggle may either not have been in the initial version of the film that you first saw, or may have been sort of undeveloped, I guess, by comparison.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And also, at that point, Lee was the director. We said, you know what, Nelson should be calling the shots here. Lee, you do the writing. Nelson, let's tell the story from your perspective, and we're going to follow you. And then a lot of it, I literally shot a lot of the film myself on a very small, looks like a small consumer video camera with a nice microphone. I accompanied Nelson to a lot of the meetings and a lot of the other things, so I wasn't really noticed. I looked like I was just a curious tourist walking around the state house
So they didn't get the sense that, hey, a documentary is being made as we discuss these kind of legislative and other actions.
Right. Yeah. No, we didn't. Yeah. But what we ended up thinking was that we're producing, and I didn't know it at the time, but, you know, back when I was telling you the story about when I first read the China study, and I was trying to just decide if that was something that could be turned into a film. When I was done reading it, I had two thoughts. One, I can't believe this is true. I'd love to be able to prove this out, do a film that sort of shows the scientific evidence. And the second was, if it is true, why don't I know about it? Why don't more people know about the plant-based diet? So inadvertently, the Plant Pure Nation became a film that answered that second question. And it really demonstrates the powers that be and how difficult it is to just get the smallest acknowledgement that a plant-based diet can be helpful, to promote, all the wonderful things that it does. And in fact, we even used the word primarily when it came down to a finding of, we were trying to get a finding of fact statement accepted by the legislature, just a simple paragraph. And it basically said that the plant-based diet, a diet primarily with plants, beans, legumes, and all that is helpful in promoting good health. So it didn't say 100% diet. It said primarily. Yeah. So we left a lot of wiggle room in there. And so I don't want to give away too much of the
But a couple of things. One is that just as far as what you're saying there, it is really fascinating. And it sounds like this is some of the stuff that you maybe embellished or broadened out film from the first version you saw. But you really see the legislative process, for better or worse, at work when just that basic proclamation is introduced in an area where meat and dairy industries hold sway. And so you get some of these legislators saying, I can't even go with primarily plant-based. And one guy memorably said, if we could just get the words meat or meat something in there. And it's like, okay, that's the exact opposite of what we're going for. But again, it just couldn't have been more clear, like what he had to really kind of cover his interest, or he couldn't support that proclamation. So,
Tom, Duncan, it's the thing that's interesting about that particular gentleman who stood up and said that, he had a heart attack about 18 months ago.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. Since then, the Speaker of the House has been gone. They put somebody to run up against Tom Reiner. Tom Reiner's gone. It was not a happy episode.
Oh, jeez.
So the film's now on Netflix, and for the second cycle, we're thinking about putting an epilogue at the end of the film to get people caught up on what happened, sort of the aftermath of that little experiment. But it's a public place, and we had the right to have our cameras there. But they didn't know we were recording. I think they just assumed we were local media or maybe PBS or something, or the local public station.
But one thing you said a moment ago too that seems at least implicit and occasionally explicit through line in the film is, why haven't I heard this before? I mean, that just seems like, even amongst the legislative struggles and otherwise, I mean, so many people, that seemed to be their refrain. How come I didn't know this information? Why am I just hearing this for the first time? Which I guess in some ways is sort of the point of the whole enterprise.
Yeah, it works both ways. On one hand, you have an industry that, if you look at the government subsidies for different types of foods and things, fruits and vegetables are less than 2%. And whereas all the other grains that are fed and animal agriculture, it's a much crazier number. It's like 60 or 70%. Yeah. So, there is no broccoli. There, you don't see ads to eat more broccoli or eat more corn or more beans or legumes. There just isn't that. But on the other hand, you see a lot of advertising. If you just sit down and watch a college football game, you'll be exposed to dozens of ads about fast food, cheap food, restaurants, processed foods, junk foods, and then pharmaceutical ads and things like that. So, you know, there's so much messaging going one way and literally zero messaging going the other way. But you would think that enough people would still recognize the health benefits. And that's what's so exciting about what's happening now. You can't keep a good idea down. You can't, when people are getting healthy and they're getting off their medications, that you can't undo that. I just think that a lot of people are the business, but the status quo right now is doing just great for a whole lot of people. So I don't see a lot of change. I don't see a lot of top down change coming anytime soon.
Well, speaking of that, one thing that as you were talking there that occurred to me that I found among the many sort of fascinating aspects of the film was when I think it might be Dr. Greger, but somebody was recounting what happened with much, much earlier legislative efforts to raise awareness of the impact of diet on health by way of McGovern, the way back to that era, and a nutrition committee. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I just thought, wow, that, you know, they weren't doing exactly the same thing, obviously, but they were certainly kind of trying to head in the same direction, and I guess clearly met the same kind of resistance.
Right. Well, you know, in a nutshell, Dr. Greger does a great job of explaining that. But, you know, just in a nutshell, yes, that's exactly what they were doing. And the USDA ended up resting control over those types of decisions and dietary decisions, things like that, as a result of that, of those committee hearings. And so it's something that they just tried to never let it get to that level again. Yeah, a lot of people were really threatened by the idea of eating a healthier diet, and so nothing got done. And again, they changed the rules so that it wasn't something that could be brought up in a subcommittee. They gave more power back to the USDA. And it's interesting that, you know, the USDA is an organization that serves farmers and farmers' needs and farmers' interests and things like that. But it's the same group that we turn to every 5 years for dietary guidelines and dietary advice. And it seems to me like you're putting the wrong people in charge of telling us what to eat, because it's in their interest to tell you to eat the beef and to eat and the cheese and the dairy products, and these are the things that have the most saturated fat of all.
Yeah, well, it seems like an inherent conflict of interest of some kind for those people to be saying, hey, we happen to be in this business, we're recommending these things. Hey, that is a coincidence.
Anyway, that's something we brushed on in Forks Over Knives.
For sure. In fact, speaking of that, I mean, you were saying about the messaging. I mean, to the, I guess, sort of casual observer, it may look like there's a handful of films plowing much the same field, as it were, I guess. I mean, Forks Over Knives, Veducated, Plant Per Nation, and so on, imparting often the same information, sometimes citing the same sources, of course, the China study reasonably and obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally the same experts, Dr. Campbell, Dr. Bernard, Dr. Greger, and so on.
Yeah.
To what extent are these having a cumulative impact, do you think, that exceeds the sum of their parts? Is there any element where there's a risk at all of reaching the point of diminishing returns with these kind of films?
I don't know. I'm a fan of Cowspiracy and What the Health, and I try to keep up on all of them, and I get calls all the time. In fact, I met with somebody yesterday. I'm out here at Tucson at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine show, and these are 850 doctors are out here all looking to practice a different way, more of a lifestyle medicine way. They've seen what's going on, and they want to help people get better and help them live better, healthier lives with better choices. And what I'm amazed at how many people are come up and they mention how Forks Over Knives was a gateway for them to the awareness. So, and then yesterday I was also speaking with somebody who's putting together her own film, and she's kind of at this day, and I know where she's at. She's looking just to get the thing edited, and then she's going to need more money for the marketing and things like that. So,
yeah.
And I try to help them all I can, and I give them as much advice as I can, but it really is it's a crapshoot. And I didn't know what Forks Over Knives was going to, I didn't know it was going to turn out to be what it was. You really never know, but I for me it was a kick, because I was used to getting numbers from the network to tell you how many people watch your show. That was it. But to actually create something and sit in a theater and see people cheer and clap and for a documentary about health, it was kind of eerie. And so it was nice. And I think the time it was all about the timing. Probably it could have been another film that did it, but we happened to be the ones that were there. And also you can't beat Doctors Esselstyn and Campbell as two guys to profile that are so humble, so selfless.
Yeah, and authoritative too. Yeah, for sure. So, given that what you're doing out there in Tucson, John, this might be a time to ask, because one important point that's made in the film, and it's certainly come up many, many times over the years on this show, is that doctors typically have received very little or no nutritional training in medical school. So, with where you are now, or just generally, do you see signs that this is improving? Because this just seems like kind of a fundamental issue in terms of the overall quests that are addressed in films like Forks Over Knives, you know, Plant Pure Nation, et cetera.
Well, you know, in fact, I just took a course on plant-based nutrition from eCornell, and one of the slides talked about the amount of nutrition training that doctors get going back to the 50s. And sad to say, it's not trending very much at all. There may be a little bit here and there. And oftentimes when they're describing discussions about nutrition, it's more to do with the biology and the biology on cells and more than cause and effect. So they're not teaching food as medicine. That's the last thing that seems like they want to do. And and there's a lot of resistance for various reasons. But one trend that I've been reading about is that the younger doctors are going through, they're more interested in this. They tend to be more lifestyle driven, and they'd like to practice that way instead, and also play more of a role in preventative medicine.
Sounds like in that case they might seek out that information or that kind of training on their own.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they're going to shows like this one. Yeah, absolutely. There's another one. It was the plant-based healthcare, the International Plant-Based Healthcare Conference in Anaheim. And we just went there as well, and 900 doctors were there, and young and eager and bright and optimistic, and you know,
yeah,
like to see a doctor. And so you know, there is hope, but I'm a little jaded, but you know, if you're looking for something major to come down from Congress or something like that,
in medical schools, it sounds like all these things that you're attending and where you're feeling encouraged are sort of orbiting around medical school and are training or conferences that people are seeking out apart from whatever medical school training or even continuing education they get.
Right. It's just going to, you know, change is going to really have to come from the individual and then those around him.
Yeah.
That's the way a lot of grassroots changes anyway. So I'm optimistic, and I'd love to see it move faster, and I'd like to think that Forks Over Knives help move the needle a little bit, you know, help contribute pushing the rock up the hill. But I think the trick now is that if you can have more films like this, you've got to plow new ground and the story itself, it's really pretty simple. You know, eat your fruits and vegetables and you're going to get healthy.
Yeah.
Eat your crap and you're not. And there's lots of different ways to say that, but I'm sure that more and more people come up with different ideas on how to do that.
Yeah. Well, even somewhere in the film, it might be Dr. Campbell, but someone says it in a very simple but I think powerful way, which is that control your diet and you basically control your health. And so if you really can have that much say over things you can avoid, or things you can even, in some cases, reverse in terms of notable diseases by making those shifts in your diet. That's pretty powerful, right there.
And yeah, I mean, it's just not sexy enough. It's just not scientific enough. It's too simple for a lot of people to get their heads wrapped around that food. And so, the power of food. It's really the best. It's the best kept secret in medicine by a mile.
Well, and it sounds like in some ways some contingents want to keep it that way. So
right,
yeah, which is interesting. So we got a text message here, John, that says Forks Over Knives started a food revolution. It made such a difference in my life. So that's nice. And again, we are speaking with John Corey, producer of Plant Pure Nation, and also of course produced Forks Over Knives. And Plant Pure Nation is a documentary that will be screening at the Tampa Bay Veg Fest happening. November 4th at Okeechobee Fort Brooke Park. And we again invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, emailing dj@wmnf.org, or texting 813-433-0885. Can you give us a little bit of a sneak preview? So Plant Pure Nation is screening at Veg Fest, and then I gather you're going to speak a little bit before, and I guess maybe more expanded form after. Can you talk a little bit about what that event looks like?
Well, you know, it's my first time going to it. I've been in Los Angeles since 1986. I've just recently come back to Tampa Bay, and so it's my first time going. I don't know a lot about how it's set up. We'll have my company, Plant Pure Health and Weight Loss, will have a tent there, and we'll be exhibiting. And then I think across the street, there is a place where they're going to show the film, and I just look forward to setting it up and you know, engaging people with what they might think after watching it. It's been on Netflix for a while, and it didn't have the marketing budget that Forks Over Knives did, and unfortunately that really is the name of the game to really get it out there. But it's had a wonderful grassroots effect.
Yeah.
So I'll want to be talking to people about that. You know, one of the things that was interesting about making the film was that we did some things that I felt were a little bit innovative. We filmed ourselves making the film, if you will. We took that scene where the people had the showdown in the Kentucky legislature, and we decided to stage a rally outside of Louisville to show people what happened in that legislature. And we want to get the reaction, and so we filmed that rally, and then we took the film on the road. It was more of a fine cut at that point. We took it on a holistic cruise, and we showed the rough cut to a lot of people there. Then we decided to do a 23 city tour, and my wife Patty and I helped coordinate that, and we brought Dr. Campbell and his wife Karen and Kim and Nelson Campbell. So the six of us literally went all around the country showing the film one city at a time. And it was during this promotion that we did a Kickstarter campaign to help raise money for funding. And we got the notion of Plant Pure Pods. You know, why don't we set up a way that people can access the information, share information, and set up their local pods, or if they already have a plant-based group to affiliate with us and see if we can get some more power in numbers. So as we were going around putting this 23 city tour, that actually gelled to become the final point of the film. So we're glad that we did that, and so there are a couple of plant pure pods in the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah,
and now we've got about 400 all over the world, and I've had people coming up to me at the show this last week from all kinds of places talking about the things that they're doing. So it's fun to see what a film can do. And there's something about documentary films that they, for some reason they have the ability to affect change if they're done right.
Even as you talk about those gatherings or like rallies that you end up putting in the film, I mean, there's a real evangelical element or fervor when people are at these things and you guys are talking, and it's just so such energy and enthusiasm for the things that are being discussed and the points that you guys have explored.
Yeah, I would agree. When people know deep down in their heart that they're right, you know, they're not going to quit.
Well, that's the thing. So the film really has served as sort of a jumping off point for everything from this sort of grassroots movement to a full-fledged enterprise. Was there a certain point in the filming, or in your case, I guess, sort of expanding the filming process, where you realize, hey, this is the case, or we have this kind of opportunity if we really do it right?
Right. Well, but in addition to producing Forks Over Knives, I also did the marketing and the product development for the first couple of years. So And one of the first things I argued for early on was we need a book, because if people buy into this film, they're going to want more information. There were a few books out there at the time, and certainly the plant-based diet is no secret. But the book ended up became a number one bestseller before the film went onto Netflix, and so that ended up getting we got on Dr. Oz and got on the Bill Maher Show and some things like that really helped it along.
So. Sure. So now, sort of as an offshoot, or again, as part of the sort of grassroots movement that then spawned a kind of a more of a full-fledged enterprise that I've noted a couple times in the show. I mean, while we're really here primarily today to talk about the movie and the discussion that's constitutes an important part of the VegFest programming, but really less than 2 weeks after VegFest, there's a pretty momentous event and panel that will be convened being in St. Petersburg. Can you talk a little bit about the Et Cultura Festival and that panel and who's on it?
Love to. And what I was trying to say before is that while we were making Plant Your Nation, we knew that Nelson had an experience with making food, and he wanted to take the food that you see Kim making in that film that we did, the 21 Day Jumpstart, and make it available to a lot of people at as low a cost as possible. So he developed 20 frozen dinners and 10 dry lines. So Plant Pure now offers 30 different entrees, and we try to get those out to we have a nonprofit that gets them into with faith-based groups and to food deserts and things like that. And then at the same time, we saw the opportunity to create a weight loss program, but using the plant-based diet. So the Plant Pure Health and Weight Loss is the only company in the country now that has a weight loss program that has delivered plant-based food. So my partners, Steve and Sue Kehoe in Tarpon Springs, and I put this thing together. And we're going to be able to kick the whole thing off by celebrating the plant-based diet November 15th at Janus Live. And we've got Dr. Michael Greger, Dr. T. Colin Campbell, J.D. Roth is coming. J.D. Roth produced the ABC show, The Biggest Loser, for 17 seasons. He's got an interesting story. You've heard about Greger and Campbell, but J.D. Noticed that a number of the people that won his show went back to their hometowns and got back to their familiar environments and put the weight back on. So he realized, there wasn't a long-term answer. Eat less, exercise more doesn't work in the long term. It really has to be a lifestyle. And my wife, Patty, and his wife put together a little benefit back in L.A. about 3 years ago. And we showed Plant Pure Nation at his home. And he started really opening up to this because his wife had to do it for health reasons. So 2 years later, he developed a whole new TV show called The Big Fat Truth. And he wrote a book, and he basically came around to seeing that the plant-based diet is not only good for weight loss short term, but it's a way to keep it off, because 95% of people fail their diet within 3 years and the weight comes back on. So, you're talking about an industry that has a 5% success rate. So we're here saying, we've got the food. So we put together a really cool 5-hour PowerPoint program. It's a 28-day program, and we'll start offering it November 20th and 21st. In St. Petersburg, so we wanted to test it in St. Petersburg. Well, so that night on November 15th is sort of our official kickoff for the company, and also we're having Dr. Lori Marvis is coming as well from Boca Raton. She practices this way, and
it's quite a high octane panel for sure. Anybody that's seen any of these movies or read any of these books is going to be familiar with these people, and it'll be a great opportunity to see them in person. And I know you'd said that you were kind of originally from the area. Is that why you decided to launch the whole shebang in St. Petersburg? Or,
well, a couple things sort of came together in the last few years. I produced a film on Florida State football coach Bobby Bowden called The Bowden Dynasty, and it brought me back to Florida for a lot of time. And then also, my two kids have just graduated from college, so it's really nice to be a little bit more mobile and spend more time with my family here. I haven't done that in 30 years.
Okay.
And then the opportunity came about with Steve and Sue Kehoe in Tarpon Springs to do this here locally. So I think we have a better shot at really exploring how to really develop this program in a town like St. Petersburg than if I was back in Los Angeles, where there's one of these places on every corner.
Yeah, although it sounds like, if I follow you, though, that insert whatever weight loss program name here, and many of those, of course, provide the meals. If I follow you, what you're saying is that the Plant Pure Health is the only program, really, of any that is designed for weight loss, but also provides the meals, that is providing plant-based whole food meals.
That's right. One of the things that we do, we've got a 5-hour seminar that kicks off this program, and I was able to, we did it on PowerPoint, but today you can do all kinds of animation and you can run video through a PowerPoint, so I saw it as just another way to make it part TV, part movie, part seminar. And one of the things we explore is the other diets that are out there. Because we tell people, you know, you could be sitting in a, you know, you could be ordering Jenny Craig right now, or you could be sitting in a Weight Watchers class, or you know, or drinking Slim Fast. Let's take a look at what those things are made out of. Let's look at the food. And I won't name the company, but in one of the ingredient lists, it's for Philly cheesesteaks, and the meat doesn't show up until line 15. It's okay. All artificial ingredients, chemicals, flavorings, and these companies are doing their best to try to get you to somehow lose the weight, but they don't seem to be interested in your health
and or a sustained weight loss.
No, they just deal with churn, and I think they just assume that of the five, these fad diets out there, that people just bounce from one to the other. So they're happy to lose one as long as they can get one from the other one.
The next people,
And then we show our ingredients, and since we flash freeze our food, we don't need to use any preserve. You know, we don't have to use the typical, you know, artificial preservatives and things like that.
Well, this sounds very, very exciting. And so, again, that's coming up. That panel is November 15th, Wednesday, 2 weeks from, 3 weeks, I guess, actually, from today, at Janus Live. People could, I guess, find out more at Cultura, it's CULTURA.com. You can get tickets there, I guess, if you wanted to attend the panel. And then how long do you figure, like, is this sort of a pilot program in St. Petersburg and then it widens out, or what happens next?
Yes. No, well, in fact, we're sort of pursuing two tracks at once. One is where we're building the business here in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
And then at the same time we're licensing this program already. I'm out here in Tucson showing doctors how this is something they can use in their practice and satisfy that need that they have, because many of the doctors I'm seeing here, that they'll say, I see 10 people a day, I see 15 people a day that just need to change their diet, and most of the problems are going to go away. But I can't do that. I don't have the time to sit down and get them, you know, get their heads wrapped around this. So what we do is we set it up so they can do a monthly seminar just like we are. And you can have 50, 75 people there, and if they don't want to do it, maybe their staff can do it. But they basically teach our PowerPoint, and at the same time, the people that the patients that signed up for it are getting our food delivered every day. So we make it really easy for the doctor. They never see the food. They just have to show up, and then they do a shopping visit. We like to use the Sprouts. They've been really friendly. And then we do a halfway through the 28 days, they do a we do a sort of a meetup, and then a cooking class, a fun demo class, and then after 4 weeks, we encourage the students to get their blood work done, you know, before and after. Well, we encourage them to bring their blood test in for the reunion party, and we give prizes for the best cholesterol drop and the best weight loss. So it's 28 days, but the best part about it is it allows a doctor to be able to have their patients change the biochemistry overnight and sustain it for 28 days, and then they really feel the difference. And I tell people, you can read a book about the plant-based diet, you can watch a movie about it, but there's no substitute for eating the food. And then your body starts to talk to you.
Cool. Well, John, we have just about reached the end of our time, but again, this has been John Corey, Plant Pure Nation, the documentary. We'll be screening at Tampa Bay Veg Fest November 4th at Cotentrophy Fort Brooke Park. And again, he'll be there on hand to lead a little bit of a discussion before and a little more substantial one after. And then 11 days later, it'll be this panel on the 15th with Dr. Campbell and Dr. Greger, J.D. Roth, Nelson Campbell, Kim Campbell, Dr. Lori Marbus, John himself, and Dr. I guess Kanika Tomlin.
She's from a Healthy St. Pete. As well. She's going to help welcome everybody.
Right. So lots going on in the next couple of weeks. So thank you so much for making the time to join us this morning on Talking Animals.
Oh, thank you, Duncan.
All right. Take care now. Thank you.
Bye.
In a few moments, I'll speak with Jennifer Lockwood about ongoing efforts to help cats and dogs abandoned the U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico after the hurricanes by bringing them stateside and adopting them out. Right now, it's time to step into the Comedy Corner, where we have a piece by the great Joe Zimmerman. This one's called Animal Attacks, and today's Comedy Corner. Talking animals.
Animal attacks are confusing because everywhere you travel, there's a different attack technique. I was down in Florida. They're like, alligator attack, just running a zigzag. Everybody knows that. I didn't know that. Is that true?
Yes.
Because aren't alligators' eyes on the sides of their head? Wouldn't they see you when you're zigging and zagging? Like, there he is. Got him. Okay, he's back. Good thing he's not sprinting straight ahead. That'd be my blind spot. I'm going straight ahead. I know some attacks, like I know shark attack, put her in a headlock, drag it onto land. I know that one. Stupid shark. Can't even breathe. What a dumb shark. I've always heard if you see a wolf in the wild, you're not supposed to smile, takes the teeth as a sign of aggression. Yeah, I don't know who sees a wolf in the wild and goes, it's a pack of wolves, wave. They're smiling back at us. I hope they come play. And there's something called an alligator snapping turtle that can be up to 300 pounds, very aggressive if you're ever attacked. They say to hold its head underwater because it has a weak neck. Maybe. But if I'm ever attacked by a 300-pound turtle, I feel like my first move is to walk away. Right? I think step two with the turtle is if it chases, you're going to want to keep walking. Just don't take a nap. Oh, turtles hate naps. Little Aesop's Fable humor get things going.
All right, well, that was Joe Zimmerman with a piece called Animal Attacks, taken from his album Smiling at Wolves. Curiously, Jennifer Lockwood does not seem to be available. I tried her a couple different times, confirmed yesterday, so something must have come up for her. So we will carry on with some animal news and announcements, including the Friends of Strays is holding its Wags and Whiskers, a Hepcat Ball, Saturday, October 28th. From 7 to 10 p.m. at Duncan McClellan Gallery. The event will feature swing music from the 30s and 40s, dancing, a glass-blowing demonstration, plus a silent auction featuring the glass piece created in that demo, and more. So this will help Friends of Strays. You can find out more by going to friendsofstrays.com. Also coming up this weekend, Animal Based Charities is holding one of those drag queen bingos. It's going to be at Hamburger Mary's in Ybor City, and you will enjoy raucous fun. It says here, parenthetically, adults only, please. And yes, that's good advice. I stumbled into one of those accidentally a few years ago with my son, who was quite young then and had many, many questions about what we were witnessing. So anyways, but there's good food and drinks and raffle prizes and more, and of course, it's a lot of fun. The fun starts there, in this case, at 4:30 and goes till 7:30. When you buy the games, the proceeds go to animal-based charities. So you can check out animal-based charities' website or go to their Facebook page for more information on the drag queen bingo happening this Sunday, October 29th. And as we acknowledged, speaking with John a few times, but the 8th Annual Tampa Bay Veg Fest is on the horizon. Again, that's going to be November 4th at Cotenchobe Fort Brooke Park. And in addition to the film that we talked about with John, there's another film, I think, but there's all kinds of speakers. There's cooking demonstrations. There's vendors. There's food you can sample, food you can buy. There's animals to adopt. There's all kinds of great information. And it's taking place, again, on the 4th from 10 to 5 p.m. We'll have a secret till then. Guest on briefly next week that will be unusual and cool. So
That's happening on the Veg Fest front. Also, the nice folks at the Humane Society of Tampa Bay, through a great grant that funding really from philanthropist Jim Parker, are going to be offering a great deal. We can't really say on the air here how great a deal, but for vaccinations for dogs on Saturday, November 4th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Perry Harvey Senior Park. That's at 1000 East Harrison Street in downtown Tampa. They basically are going to be prepared to offer vaccinations to the first 1,000 dogs that sign up. And again, information about the requirements to participate in the clinic and other information you can find out either by going to humanesocietytampa.org/events or calling 813-336-3550. And on the news front, this is sort of a follow-up to our interview a few weeks back with the woman who made the great documentary about sled dogs, both focusing on the Iditarod and other sled dog operations in Canada and the U.S. So this was a day or two ago in the New York Times. Let's read a little bit of it. In a major blow to the integrity of the Iditarod dog sled race, officials for the sport on Monday identified the four-time champion Dallas Seavey as the musher whose dogs recently tested positive for banned drugs in this year's competition. Seavey, whose family is full-fledged Iditarod royalty, had a string of three consecutive victories in the animal race, which runs through the Alaskan wilderness, broken in March by his father, Mitch. Father beat son by a little less than 3 hours in the process, broke Dallas Seavey's world record, which had been set in 2016. Earlier this month, the Iditarod Trail Committee made the surprising announcement that four of the dogs in this year's event had tested positive for the opioid pain reliever Tramadol. It was the first time dogs had tested positive for a prohibited substance since the race began testing in 1994. And try to keep track of things internationally. So this comes from Malawi. We're pleased to announce that a man tried and convicted of poaching a black rhinoceros in Lwandi National Park in Malawi was handed down an 18-year prison sentence in Lwandi Magistrates Courts on Thursday, October 19th. Two accomplices were given long-term sentences of 10 and 8 years each, setting a new precedent in the punishment for wildlife crime in the country. So, it's more like it. This is Talking Animals. It's time to move into Name That Animal Tune. First, I want to remind you, though, coming up at 11 on WNF, it's Rob Loroy and Radioactivity, kicking off a three-hour block of interviews, phone calls, news, and more, including in the noon hour, Midpoint with Nola Lule. Then at 1 p.m., Craig Kopp and John Gilmore preside over executive sessions. So, meanwhile, we'll get Name That Animal Tune going. It is a giveaway, but please only participate if you haven't won something from WNF in the last 90 days. And there'll be a prize from the Talking Animals Vaults, some kind of cool book or DVD or something will come up based on your own interest, perhaps. To the first person who calls 813-239-9663 and correctly identifies this animal song. One clue: this band will be represented in WNF's tribute to the British Invasion Part 3. That's taking place November 4th at Skipper's. So this is Name That Animal Tune on Talking Animals. If you do know that animal tune, we will take your guess probably off the air because we have reached the end of today's edition of Talking Animals on WNF Tampa. Again, Rob Loroy is up next with Radioactivity. Please visit TalkingAnimals.net for audio archives of every show we've ever broadcast. iTunes podcasts are available there too. There are also links to our Facebook page, our Twitter feed, and more. Please like us on Facebook, the show, and or me personally, and follow me on Twitter. You can also subscribe there to our e-newsletter to find out about our guests a couple of days beforehand and other news from the Talking Animals world.
That's all found at talkinganimals.net. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. This is Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa, Brandon, Clearwater, Largo, Wekiwachi, and beyond. Community Conscious Radio. Thanks for listening. Speak to you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Talking Animals.